Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. This will be released on Friday, May the 19th, in the year of our Lord 2023. Collect of the day for Dustin, Archbishop of Canterbury, and Reformer of the Church, 988. O God, our Heavenly Father, you raised up your faithful servant, Dustin, to be a bishop and pastor in your church and to feed your flock. Give abundantly to all pastors the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that they may minister in your household as true servants of Christ and stewards of your divine mysteries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, we're on question 204 of the Catechism. 204, what are the sources of temptation? Answer, I am tempted by the false promises of the world, the selfish desires of my flesh, and the lies of the devil, all of which war against God and my spiritual well-being. So, question 204. What are the sources of temptation? Where does temptation come from? So, one, I am tempted by the false promises of the world. Two, the selfish desires of my own flesh, and the lies of the devil, all of which war against God and my spiritual well-being. Okay. So, let's go through the scriptural references. Genesis 3, verses 1 to 8. We'll send chapters 1 to 8. That's going to be a lot of reading. Okay, Genesis 3, verses 1 to 8. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Next is from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. The next is Mark chapter 7, verse 15. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Next scriptural reference is the Epistle of St. James, chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And the final scriptural reference is the First Epistle of St. John, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, chapter. Question 204. Got myself turned around there for a split second. I was on 205 going, this doesn't sound familiar. Question 204. What are the sources of temptation? I am tempted by the false promises of the world, the selfish desires of my flesh, and the lies of the devil, all of which war against God and my spiritual well-being. I think one of the great things that this has to eliminate within us is this any idea that God's against us, that God wants us to fail. God would very much like us to succeed. That's the whole reason he made us. Not the whole reason. It's among the reasons, right? We're supposed to be a reflection of him, right? So our desires are out of tune with his desires, our selfish desires. Even Jesus says, I'm not here to do my will, but the will of the Father, right? He's telling us what will we're supposed to have, which is the will of the Father. So the false promises of the world, the selfish desires of my flesh, and the lies of the devil. And of course, the famous, the tempting in the desert of Jesus and all the different things that Jesus does to tempt him. To tempt Jesus, that is. You know, so it's the devil that's doing the tempting, obviously. It's sort of, it's a personification. It is an actual person doing the tempting. Very directly in that particular case. You know, got to bring out the big guns. You're tempting Jesus, you got to bring out the big guns. Well, that one specifically, the devil himself is going to show up to do that. We, of course, are tempted by lots of other things, just the desire for ease, the desire to be popular with people, to look good, whatever that is in our particular cultural setting. I mean, it can be a variety of things. And sometimes looking good in a particular cultural setting might actually be a good thing if the culture is properly ordered. In our particular context here in the West, it's not particularly well designed anymore. You have to raise your children contrary to the world around you constantly because everything's set up to cause your child to fail. You end up having to protect them from all kinds of things rather than the society being set out to care for the children. Right now, it seems like they seem more with consuming your children than helping them perform, or not perform, reach their potential to mature into full adults. Probably using the wrong phrasing, not getting my point across. And I'm thinking of all these drag queen story hour and books that are in libraries. And my daughter just graduated from college, and a college in Chicago, which is an art school, which, I mean, was just neck deep in all that sort of silliness. But I'd done my very best before sending her off to be able to withstand that kind of thing. Now we'll see how it goes years from now. You can ask me how it went. But she decided she wanted to be in a particular field. She's very good at it. We'll see how she does in that particular field, in the arts industry. You know, and that'll be on me and my wife. You know, how did we do? Did we prepare her or not? We'll see. Not quite sure how I got there. Probably because I'm waxing in my own head about the fact that my youngest just graduated from college, feeling really old. So let's focus back on the question, shall we? And since I'm recording this in the afternoon, it's actually more of, a Coke and catechism rather than a coffee and a catechism. So I'm drinking a Coke rather than having a coffee. It's going to be released on a Friday, but I'm recording it in an afternoon that I have free because I took a few days off after my daughter graduated to recover. And it was really, really important that I did because it turns out I do need a day and a half to recover after all running around and all that stuff. So anyway, let's get back to the catechism. So Basil the Great on that piece from Proverbs about remove far from me falsehood and lying, give me neither poverty nor riches. So here's Basil the Great. Solomon says, give me neither beggary nor riches. Give me only what is necessary and sufficient, lest being filled I should deny and say, who sees me? Or being poor I should steal and forswear the name of my God, thus representing riches as satiety, poverty as a complete lack of the necessities of life, and sufficiency as a state of both free from want and without superfluity. Superfluity. Sufficiency varies, however, according to the physical condition and present need. In every case, care must be taken for a good table, yet without overstepping the limits of actual need. Here ends the reading. It's an interesting focus in on the amount of food that we eat. And in the West, we can be particularly guilty of this as we have rather an overabundance of food. Food is relatively inexpensive. We can buy large quantities of it in advance, put it in a refrigerator, and it stays quite well. So here he is pointing out that in our tables, we're representing not overstepping the limits of actual need. And of course, it's quite easy to overindulge. The joke's been made in for Baptist circles that that's the sin that shall not be named, right? You have a lot of rather pudgy Baptists. It's not, pass a covered plate, all those sorts of jokes, right? But it's actually, a certain degree is true, but it's, but at the same time, what is too much weight? What's being too thin? But I think we all know there's a particular line. Not sure how much I want to actually dig at this one. I'm feeling a little three fingers pointed back at me kind of thing when I'm talking about this. But it does, it does sort of depend on the job that you have. If you're in a very, very physically demanding job, you tend to your weight tends to be a little more well controlled because your physical activity helps you. Now, what does this have to do with temptation? Well, the joke. It was actually a fairly good joke. I like this one. The MC who was talking at the graduation talked about how all of a sudden all of them had to be on Zoom. And he said, well, the camera adds 10 pounds and COVID-19. And it was true. During the pandemic, I was quite susceptible to this. I gained some weight during the pandemic because I was at home a lot more and a lot closer in proximity to the refrigerator. Instead of taking food with me to work, it was all right here. It was easier to snack, all those sorts of things, right? We also didn't have a lot to do. So you were left with eating too much, and in some cases, people drinking too much. There was a video that went around of some guy out for a run on trash day, and he's noticing all the trash cans have bottles and bottles of wine and bottles and some bottles of beer. And, Yeah. I mean, there was a certain tendency within that initial period of just, you know, what the heck do I do with myself? But that's the, right, those are the temptations of the flesh, right? The selfish desires of the flesh. I'm trying to assuage my boredom, right? And those can quickly, you know, there's having a few too many glasses of wine and then ending up with troubles because you've had too many glasses of wine, making dumb decisions, making stupid decisions, stupid purchases, immorality, things of that sort, right? All from the simple lack that I was not keeping myself busy, right? And that was part of the thing that I think drove people slightly mad during the pandemic, was the fact that we're all forced to kind of do nothing. And in some cases, not just do nothing, but stare at a computer screen or phone and see news unfolding before us and not much else going on to distract us and putting us all in a foul mood. I'm not sure why I'm waxing on this one. That just seems to be like, that one seems to be really in my craw lately, that the ways in which the initial part of the pandemic just ground people down. It really, really did. And it ground me down. And it was easier to eat and drink than to actually face the problems that were presenting themselves, which is, what do I do with all this extra time? And I could have used it more productively, easily. But it was not difficult. And I was also trying to support other people who were having a tough time with us not doing anything. So what are the bounds of that? What are the bounds? I don't know. I'm not actually giving you an answer on that. I'm just saying it's difficult. But here, you know, here's, you know, don't become so full that I deny the Lord. Who is the Lord? All right, turning next to Tertullian, Carthage. So, commenting on Mark 7:15, there's nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Tertullian. When then, on being cursed, I smite with my tongue, how shall I be found to have followed the doctrine of the Lord, which has been delivered that a man is defiled, and that the Lord himself is the gospel, has given a compendious answer to every kind of scrupulousness in regard to food, that not by such things are introduced into the mouth as a man defiled, but by such as are produced out of the mouth. Here ends the reading. Yes, let us mind our tongue. Thinking of James and of all the wild things, the tongue has not been tamed. And as a person myself, rather inclined to talking a lot, as I have been in this podcast, to get myself into trouble because I talk too much. I haven't thought through what I was going to say. And that's caused me some problems over the years. Getting foot and mouth diseases, as I've had somebody explain it to me, tell me once, foot and mouth disease. Getting myself way too far out over my skis. So watching that tongue, because in that you can get carried away, right? You make proud boasts and then you try to live up to those boasts. So don't be sucked in by the selfish desires of the flesh or the false promises of the world, because you think by saying something you'll get in with the right crowd. Oh no, none of us have ever done that. No, none of us have ever done that. Now, the last thing I had was actually a homily from Augustine. And I'm at 20 minutes, and I don't think I can squeeze this in. I think it's a little too long. Yeah. I think I'll just post it in the show notes. It's really, it's good. Let me just say that. It's word good. I think it's worth your time to read it. So I'm going to wrap it up. Question 204. What are the sources of temptation? I'm tempted by one, the false promises of the world. Right? Riches, fame, glory, selfish desires of my flesh. Right? Sexual gratification, my tummy, the lies of the devil. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will bow down and worship me. Lies. I am tempted by the false promises of the world, the selfish desires of my flesh, and the lies of the devil, all which war against God and my spiritual well-being. Well, thank you for listening. Feedback is amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. I've been pretty quiet on the socials lately just because they were driving me slightly batty. I was spending a little too much time reading it, being a bit of a political junkie myself. So I laid off a bit for my own spiritual well-being. Quote catechism right there. One of the things in the show notes will be a link to buy me a cup of coffee if you'd like to donate to the cause and the other things that are going on in the background, other projects I have been trying to work on, and to defray, basically right now it's to defray the cost itself of the podcast and things like that. I like to say, if you think you can do this better, please do. I do think we should be spending more time talking about the catechism, sharing the catechism, being catechized ourselves, being willing to be catechized, being willing to be taught, which in the Proverbs is a huge, huge discussion point. Are you willing to learn? You know, that's the beginning. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? Acknowledging that the Lord has something to teach you, very important. So, and I think that's all the things I'm supposed to say. So thank you for listening. And I should close with a prayer. I'm going to do the general Thanksgiving. That just sounds something different. Or should I do the cross? No, let's do general Thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we are unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and while walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.